This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSIN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Kansas City Chiefs are the favorites to win the Super Bowl title. They'll open up the playoffs and the divisional round with the Cleveland Browns at Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday. The Browns are the 10-point road dog, a total of 57. On a numbers game with Gil Alexander, former NFL offensive lineman and SiriusXM NFL host Jeff Schwartz says he likes Kansas City's team total to go over.
It would look at the Chiefs team total. I think it's at 32.5. I think I'm right there, maybe 33, maybe 32, somewhere around there. Every time they play a bad defense off a bye, and the Browns are a bad pass defense. They're bad against deep passes. They're bad against tight, covering tight ends. They're bad at all of that. They're bad at all of it. The Chiefs score a ton of points because Pat Mahomes kind of hones back into what he does well. In case the defense gives him, they're rested, they're fresh. I think the Chiefs score a ton of points in this game. So the question is whether their defense, which is awful in the red zone, which can be run on, whether they can do enough to cover the 10 points. And everyone always says, well, you can run the ball on the Chiefs, and that's the way to win the game. Yeah, sure, but you better score touchdowns when you run the football. And also, if you get behind 14 points in the third quarter, are you still running the ball? If you think the Chiefs start slow, which they've done so far this season, they've done a little bit off bye, kind of start slow, maybe grab a better number early in the game. The Browns will feel confident. They come out, maybe get a 3 or 7 right away, and you get a better number. But I lean toward the Chiefs here, but I definitely, like my number one pick this weekend, I love team total over for the Chiefs. I don't like betting overs a lot, but this one I love.
Former NFL offensive lineman and SiriusXM NFL host Jeff Schwartz on a numbers game with Gil Alexander weekdays 10 to noon Eastern on VSIN. The Buccaneers and the Saints will meet for the third time this year. The Saints won the first two meetings. This time, the Saints are laying 3. Pro Football Focus's Eric Eagers says he likes the Buccaneers plus the points.
Yeah, this is a great one where you look at just like the pure power numbers of a game, and you probably have, you know, the Saints being 2.5 points better than the Bucs. And, you know, you look historically at home field advantage for New Orleans is generally speaking very good, but goes away, with the limited fans to no fans in the 2020 season. And then it goes away a little bit more because the Saints, who are the 2 seed, no longer have the bye that they're used to having. Familiarity when it comes to, you know, home field advantage also reduces that number. And then having a brilliant Hall of Fame quarterback on the other side, being able, I mean, we saw that Sunday Night Football game early in the season where Aaron Rodgers was able to check at the line of scrimmage to his heart's content. Brady, obviously, you know, having now 17 games in this Buccaneers offense, very comfortable at this point. That's why, you know, when I look at this, I know the matchup has been tough for Tampa the first two times. Todd Bowles has been sort of run in circles by Sean Payton, but I think the third time around here, I'm going to go with Tampa plus the points.
Eric Eager of Pro Football Focus on betting across America. Heard weekdays 3 to 5 Eastern, weekends 1 to 3 Eastern on VSIN. It's another huge NFL playoff weekend coming up, plus daily basketball and tennis betting action. And the NHL drops the puck this week. The VSIN experts are working on every sport every day to give you a betting edge. Subscribers get all of your insights and analysis for the NFL playoff matchups at our new NHL betting guide to help you make the most informed betting decisions possible. Become a VSIN All Access subscriber today. VSIN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSIN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
It's the most exciting time of the sports betting year. With football playoffs, pro and college hoops, hockey, golf, soccer, tennis, and with all this action, you need the analysis and insights from VSIN sports betting experts more than ever. Get daily email best bets from our hosts and guests, 24/7 video streaming, and our point spread weekly betting guides to improve your betting IQ and give yourself an edge. Invest in your sports betting success with a VSiN subscription today at vsin.com/subscribe.
Did you miss a VSiN show? We have multiple daily and weekly podcasts to keep you up to date on all the latest sports betting action. VSiN Best Bets bringing you the highlights from our daily lineup of shows, including Follow the Money and A Numbers Game. Market Insights with Josh Applebaum gets you ready with the latest lines and action. Beating the Book with Gail Alexander provides the insider view on analytics-based betting strategy from professional bettors, handicappers, and sportsbook operators. Visit vsin.com/podcast today to find all of our podcast options.
All right, second hour of The Edge. Karen Loftus joins us in about 40 minutes to get the Tampa perspective on the Buccaneers meeting with the New Orleans Saints. Third time is the charm, except actually when we go for these sweeps, which we discussed earlier in the week, a myth. It is not actually that hard to beat a team three times in an NFL season. In fact, it has happened more often than not last 21 times. The team going for the sweep 14-7 straight up. Now, covering a number is a different story. 9-8 against the spread, but that is a discussion maybe for, well, I don't know, another day. We actually had that discussion earlier in the week, and I laid it, baby. Let's go, New Orleans Saints. So a couple of things. First off, I'm a day late on this, but I don't care. Happy two-year anniversary to Clemson. 2 years ago, treated to a feast of cold McDonald's over at the White House. That was a memory in and of itself. So a very happy anniversary to the picture of one Trevor Lawrence holding a Big Mac on a plate with a fork for some reason, and I don't know why you would need a fork to eat a Big Mac, but... What's your favorite McDonald's sandwich, Aaron?
Not the McRib, but
Matt Eumanns just got angry.
I understand. I'm not just a classic quarter pounder guy.
Okay, if you're going to say filet of fish, I might fight you. Although yeah. I've never had one, so the quarter pounder is a very solid sandwich. Very solid indeed. Although now that I'm a new father, he's 2 years old. We've come around as a chicken nugget family, obviously.
Nothing wrong with chicken nuggets, especially on a road trip. You're just driving somewhere, being able to just grab it out of the bag and eat it. Yep. Never a bad thing.
Quick dip and rip. This, by the way, this spot with Drew Martin brought to you by Wendy's. So that's a good one. When we come back. No. All right, we're going to effort Drew. Just an update really quickly, too, as we're looking around, and we talked about the divisional round with Chris Andrews. That was a really good conversation. If you missed out on it, go back and listen to what Chris had to say, because it's a really good conversation to note the differences in a lot of these money line prices when you're shopping for a lot of these games. You know, the key example being the Saints-Bucks and then the Ravens and Bills matchup there. You know, for example, personally, I do like the Baltimore Ravens. I took three with them when that popped back up, but you can see the difference in that money line if you fancy yourself a money line price on the Baltimore Ravens. It's actually pretty cheap in comparison to the other game. Plus 120, for example, here at the South Point of the Baltimore Ravens. But if we can transition that to the Saints and the Buccaneers board, you'll see that the plus 120 price tag on the Ravens is actually a little cheap considering that you can get the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the range of about plus 150 on that money line price there as you see it. So very good conversation we had with Chris, vsin.com/podcast. Speaking of good conversations, let's have another one. And by the way, Brad Evans was a good conversation too. But, oh man, the VSiN bosses are listening. I just got a text from Bill 80 saying Filet-O-Fish are delicious. Look at that. Drew Martin's with us though. Drew, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
JVT, always good to be on with you, talking about good conversations with Chris. He's always a good guy. And yeah, hopefully we can continue that here, buddy, talking NFL playoffs and a little college basketball.
We will. I have faith in you. Really, it's just going to be me that derails it if that's going to be the case. So let's start. We'll start at the top of the board and we'll kind of work our way down, go through every game, get your thoughts on it. So first up, Los Angeles Rams, Green Bay Packers. Ben Fox, great guy, of course, that works for us here at VSiN, tweeted this out a little bit earlier today, Drew. The public side, essentially, most of the tickets at almost every single book that you're looking at, a very lopsided count to the Green Bay Packers, and yet we're looking at the Packers off of that 7 at 6.5 with a total of 45.5. What is the Drew Martin analysis on a Rams-Packers matchup here, first game of the weekend?
Sure, JVT. I mean, when you're talking about this, you really got to go to, Green Bay being the number one scoring offense in the NFL versus the number one scoring defense in the LA Rams. So that's going to be a big part of this handicap. You know, you bring up Ben Fox and his public percentages. That does scare me because I lean here towards the Green Bay Packers. Not my biggest bet of the weekend by any means, but a couple reasons why here, JVT. Talking about the LA Rams side, defensively up front, banged up. And when anytime Aaron Donald isn't 100%, I think that that really brings down what the LA Rams do defensively in terms of getting pressure on the opposing quarterbacks. Plus offensively for the Rams, their quarterback Jared Goff only playing in two games his whole career under 30 degrees. It's projected to be under 30 degrees in Green Bay on Saturday. That does scare me, especially because one of those games he played in cold weather there, he threw four interceptions. Keep in mind, he's a California kid playing high school football there, also playing at Cal for the Golden Bears under Sonny Dykes. So all of that taken into account, going up against Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, the MVP this year in the NFL, we get the better quarterback. Laying 6.5, a key number under 7. I lean with Green Bay here. I like the Packers. Probably be on them small by kickoff, JVT.
I mean, you and I would be a little head-to-head on this, right? I do like the Los Angeles Rams here, Drew. And I wonder, when you look at this matchup overall, and I haven't asked this question to enough people when they're handicapping this matchup, and do you think I'm undervaluing, because a lot of it has been focused on Jared Goff, right, and the type of quarterback play the Rams are going to get. My rebuttal has been, well, the running game has actually been really good. It's a weakness of the Packers. I think they should be able to do that. Do you think I'm undervaluing the quarterback position in a matchup like this? Because I think the Rams can get away with a quarterback at the level of Goff, especially with that thumb, because they'll be able to run that run the ball that well. Am I making a mistake, you think, in some analysis like that?
I guess, yes. I mean, to answer your question, I do
Get
think you're making
show,
a slight
Drew.
Mistake there.
Get off the show. You can't tell me I'm wrong.
It's always tough going up against you, JVT. I don't love it, man, by any means. But if they are able to get a push and able to kind of run the ball downhill on this Green Bay defense, which I guess there is a chance they'll be able to do, your bet is looking good, especially if you can find a +7 out there, which there might be by kickoff. I just think, you know, when you ask the question, are you underrating it in terms of the quarterback position? Quarterback is the most important thing in the NFL, even above head coach, in my opinion. So, yeah, I got to answer your question honestly, buddy.
I expect nothing less. And you know what? I'm open to this criticism. And it's what's made me a better person throughout my life. All right, Baltimore Ravens, Buffalo Bills. We're starting. This has been a wild ride, right? And at least from a side perspective. Bills open as a 3-point favorite, Drew. Number got all the way down to 1.5 in a lot of the markets that we saw. Now we've made our way back up to that 3 in a lot of other places, some week 3s. Here at the South Point, it's a 3 minus 110 on both sides. Total's been floating from 49.5 to 50. So how do you handicap this matchup? And what'd you make of the line move early in the week and where we're at now?
Yeah, it's a wild move. And JVT, it's something to keep in mind there. You know, that 3 at the South Point, very valuable. Of course, 14% of NFL games landing on the number of 3, exactly on the number of 3 over the last 5 games. It lands on the number of 3 more than any other number in NFL outcomes. But in terms of the matchup handicap behind this game, JVT, first of all, it's Saturday night in primetime. I love this time slot. This is my favorite game in terms of an NFL fan. But how I'm betting it, I mean, Josh Allen, his last 7 games, tough to step in front of how hot this Bills offense has been. 2,200 yards passing, 22 touchdowns and only 3 picks, averaging 38 points. This Bills offense is great. But the thing is, the Ravens, they've been hot as well, JVT. 5-0, both straight up and ATS, their last 5 games. The thing I really like here, JVT, is first quarter, Baltimore getting out in front, 118 points for the Ravens, only, and that's a 69-point, you know, positive margin over their opponents in the first quarter. So I actually like the Ravens here as the underdog in the first quarter, even though they are on the road, the number one scoring margin positive in the NFL for that first quarter. Lamar Jackson also 16-3 as a road starter. Even though a lot of people want to point to kind of his flaws in throwing the football, he's been able to win games on the road. And when Baltimore gets out to a lead, it's not an offense you want to be stepping in front of, especially because the Buffalo defense, if you're picking a weakness for Buffalo, it's their rush defense. And matchup wise, that's exactly where you want your strength to be going up against this Ravens team. So I actually like the underdog here, JVT. Yeah. I think the underdog's barking. I like him plus the points and a money line wager as well.
No longer on thin ice, as we are in agreement on this one. And by the way, the first quarter money line drew about +107 in that range for the Baltimore Ravens here against the Buffalo Bills. And I'd be in agreement on that. And, you know, we could talk a lot about one of the things that I can't wait to see here, Drew, in this matchup. You know, one of the things that it's one of those that I've seen with my eyes, but I want to go back and numbers-wise see if I'm correct about it. But Josh Allen against fronts that blitz a lot, right? Like the Ravens blitz on 39% of opponent dropbacks, right? If we go back to the Sunday night game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, where in that first half, they were three and out on three of the first four drives, and the other one was an interception thrown by Josh Allen. And I wonder if that's something that I can remember seeing with my eyes that actually we're going to see like play out here, because the Colts even brought some pressure and were hitting Josh Allen throughout. And I wonder if the Ravens will be able to do the same, you know?
Absolutely. And I sure enough, I mean, they have these numbers as well. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they even up that percentage in terms of the amount of blitz packages they throw to Josh Allen, get him on the ground. And sure enough, with any quarterback, that kind of messes them up, as we've seen in the NFL, but especially against Josh Allen. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that at all, JVT. And also wanted to throw out one more stat in terms of Buffalo defense, 20 rushing touchdowns against. And like we talked about, I mean, Baltimore being able to have success on the ground. So I think that they're able to kind of shorten the game, JVT, limited possessions. And I like the Ravens as well.
Take the air out of the ball, baby. All right, we'll go to Cleveland and Kansas City. If a team wants to take the air out of the ball, potentially it would be the Cleveland Browns. Although I think they're an underrated offense and can, I don't know, I want to say, keep up with the Kansas City Chiefs, but it's not going to be one where I think they're going to fall behind in a big way. Chiefs are a 10-point favorite, Drew, with a total of 57. We're starting to see some 9.5s appear on the board, though. What's the read for you?
Yeah, I mean, seeing the push here towards, you know, Cleveland at least getting a push in the marketplace down to 9.5 at a couple shops, JVT, like you said, I think it speaks to, you know, recency bias in terms of where sports bettors are going. You know, we normally don't see an NFL team laying doubles yet being 1-7 against the spread their last eight. And that's speaking towards the Chiefs here. They really haven't been cashing tickets, covering numbers. Now we're asking them to cover, you know, 9.5, if not 10 points against, I mean, you can call it a hot Browns team right now, although I'm kind of skeptical of it because they did get outscored there towards the end against the Steelers in that comeback attempt. You know, you take away the huge lead that they got out to, you know, 28 points, I think it was. That's a very different game, JVT, so that scares me. Plus the fact, you know, Baker Mayfield, awesome college quarterback, no doubt about it. Heisman Trophy, what he was able to do at Oklahoma. I just don't think his skill set projects well for long-term career in the NFL to have a lot of success. I think Kansas City's the side here, but like we talked about, laying 10, not something I'm interested in. This 57 as a total, I could see this getting up and down the field here at Arrowhead. Lean towards the over.
All right, last game on the board NFL-wise, Saints and Bucks. We're looking at three, you know, some variations of 3-120 with a total of 52 here. The Saints going for the three-game sweep of Tampa Bay. Can they do it, Drew?
I think that they can. I mean, in the past numbers, what, 5 of the last 7, I believe, to have the third time rematch have one in covered. So, I mean, sidewise, I think this is a very difficult one to project. I mean, Tampa Bay playing a lot better football, in my opinion, than the first two outcomes against New Orleans. Now we got Drew Brees and Tom Brady, kind of the ageless ones. But Tom Brady, you know, just the eye test alone, watching him throw the football, the zip down the field, it's back. For whatever reason, he's found it with his arm strength, and this being a kind of controlled climate, you know, down there in the Big Easy, in the dome, fast track. I actually think both offensive units have the advantage over their counterparts. And even though the last two times these two teams played, Tampa Bay, not all that much success offensively, I think they find it actually in the last game this weekend. And I think this total of 52, again, a little bit low. I know I'm kind of sounding square here with the last two taken overs, but I really do think this total in the low 50s, JVT, is just hanging too low. I wouldn't be surprised if this gets up into the 60s.
All right, let's transition over to college hoops then. We got some pretty good matchups to discuss. One that is a little bit deeper on the board, Winthrop and Longwood. Let's start here. Winthrop, 16-point favorite with a total of 150. Now, this is a Winthrop team that has been winning every single game that has been put in front of them, 12-0 up to this point. But, Drew, they haven't been covered numbers. Some of these numbers have been a little big for them. Also, if I noticed when I was looking over some of their game logs here, if I remember correctly, a lot of these games when it comes to Winthrop going over the total, although they've seen a couple of unders. So where are we going here right now? Sidewise again, 16 with a total of about 150.
Sure. JVT, this is a situation that I've tried to take advantage of in recent past here, just because it's, you know, the season of 2020, 2021 here in college basketball with the back-to-backs. And totals-wise, I actually think that this is showing some huge value here for us sports bettors. Winthrop, you know, up and down the court, like you talked about, they're averaging nearly 80 possessions a game. But last game, just last night against Logwood, interestingly enough, on the ESPN networks, only 70 possessions. Longwood, a team that really slows it down offensively, number 307 by KenPom's numbers in terms of tempo, and their three-point defense. They guard the three-point line very well. That travels. It tends to be repeatable as well. They've held six of their last eight Big South foes under 70 points. So overall, you know, in terms of the possession, 10 less possessions for Winthrop than they average. It only had 133 points total last night. Under 50.5 is my biggest bet for the night.
All right, and let's go to the Big Ten, too. A Rutgers team that looked like it had some pretty good things going for it at one point, but they lose a close one to Iowa. They fall flat on their face against Michigan State. It's now a three-game slide here for Rutgers. They got slapped by Ohio State as well. They're catching 2.5 with a total of 133.5 against the Badgers. Got our last 90 seconds with you, Drew. What do you got?
All right, JVT. I mean, Scarlet Knights, like you talked about, three straight losses. I've also lost four of their last five. And from the free throw line, under 60%, just 58% from the free throw line, going up against Wisconsin, that's 76% from the free throw line, only almost 20% difference here. That is tough to bet the Rutgers side. And actually, Wisconsin being the slower tempo team and the more talented team, I think they control tempo here. 10-3 with five top 50 wins already. Badgers undervalued. I laid the 2.5 with the Badgers to win this one, JVT.
Yep. All right, Drew. You can follow him on Twitter at Drew Martin Betts. It's always good to talk to my friend. Thank you as always. We will chat next week and good luck this weekend, okay?
Hey, good luck to you, JVT. Happy Friday, buddy.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. All right, we'll come back. We have plenty left to get to here on the program. Again, Karen Lofton is going to be, is going to be with us to get us the Bucks perspective on that big matchup tonight. Sunday night, I should say. Now, over the weekend, we got a pretty good fight card, at least at the top. Well, let's discuss that really quickly as Max Holloway taking on Calvin Kattar in what could be a title eliminator bout. We'll discuss that. And, of course, we still have our model market moves put together by Aaron Oster as we discuss what is going to happen in the slate of college hoops. Not a deep one today, but there's one and a couple worth looking at from a model perspective. All that and more in the last, 25 minutes here on The Edge. Ron Flatter Racing Pod. William Hill's Joe Asher talks about the making of Kentucky Derby futures. Trainer Michael Stidham discusses his Derby hopefuls, Manor House, and Proxy. And DraftKings Sportsbook's Johnny Avello handicaps weekend races. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod is available for download now at vsin.com/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. It is sponsored by First Bet. So we won't get some deep analysis on this, you know, as the season continues in the National Football League and the schedule gets a little bit shorter. We've done this now for a couple years, did it on The Edge when Humans and I were together, did it over the summer as well. You know, as the schedule kind of gets a little bit shorter with football, which is king, you can dive into other sports, which for those who don't know, I am a closet MMA fan. I'm not as smart as some guys like Lou Finicaro, but mixed martial arts is a lot of fun and it's very much worth investing your time in to watch and handicap. And we have a really good fight night card coming up this weekend. And for those of you who are, dare I use the term, casuals, when it comes to MMA, I would highly recommend watching the main event between Max Holloway and Calvin Kattar. It's going to be a ton of fun. So we see this, and by the way, it's on US, it's on ABC, and Aaron Oster and I were talking about this, which we might have to have a discussion about this. Aaron, with the casual offhanded comment during the break that one day I'll get his name right, we've been on the show together for like 3 weeks. How do you just say that now?
I've said it before to you.
You have?
I feel like I have.
Maybe I'm just such
like
a big.
You've also gone back and forth, just kind of deciding which day you'd rather say it.
That's very true, you know, and I'm such a big star that sometimes, you know, I just don't listen to people.
I get it. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, so Aaron Oster, which I'm now going to obnoxiously emphasize the O from here on out. But we were talking about this off the air. This is an ABC card, right? You get to watch this on ABC during the week, during Saturday. And look, it's an early card. It's going to be going head-to-head with, obviously, the NFL postseason and basketball, both professional and college. But yeah, I would say it's definitely worth your time to just take in Cater versus Holloway. One, it's a very important fight. Could very well be a title eliminator here, as Holloway, of course, got two cracks at the belt and one defense, and then one, of course, trying to regain it and lost both of them. And it's just going to be fun because you get two strikers who are going to be meeting in the middle and duking it out. Cater, more of a power guy who's got a very stiff jab and who's got finishing ability. And you have Holloway, who's an extremely technical fighter, very good at what he does, usually win these events by points, or at least try to for the most part. And we've seen it if you go over his last few fights. I mean, and this is what's going to be the interesting angle on something like this. Max Holloway, if you go over his last four fights, all of them have gone to the scorecards. All of them, of course, championship rounds, five-round bouts, all going to decision, right? Now, he has lost three out of four, but that might be a little overblown on the surface because, as I mentioned, Alexander Volkanovsky were his two losses. And the last one, too, to give you an idea of how close that last fight was for Holloway and Volkanovsky, I actually bet Volkanovsky going into the final round at about 215, plus 215. And he ended up winning that fight, Volkanovsky did, by a split decision. So it goes to show you, Holloway, I thought, had really built up a pretty strong case in the first three rounds. Thought, though, that Volkanovsky was landing a little bit more power-wise and he'd be able to finish him. I actually didn't really agree with the decision, but won money on it regardless. But it speaks to the form that Holloway's in. So if you look on the surface, the point I'm trying to make here, that he's lost three out of four, really dive into those because all of them have been decisions. All of them have been pretty close fights. Now, into a matchup like this against Cater, look, as I talked about here, Cater's a really talented striker. You go back to some of his last fights, and his last one against Dan Ige was really good. But why I bring that up is, as I mentioned with Holloway, he's gone to the championship rounds of the scorecards in each of his last four fights. That fight with Dan Ige was actually only the second time for Calvin Cater that he has gone past the third round and into fourth and fifth rounds. That's pretty interesting, just given the fact that Holloway's pretty used to this by now and the style that he fights. So you wonder how this affects a guy like Cater, taking a guy who's very used to taking fights this long. But as far as the side goes, look, we saw this side open up pretty high, as high as $1.80, $1.90, depending on where you look. Holloway now down to about $1.62. The Boston finisher, as he is called in Calvin Cater, totally understand taking a plus price on him. It has nothing to do with Holloway and his recent form, but Cater's a guy with a lot more oomph behind a lot of these punches. And he's going to be able to land, I think, quite a bit here on Holloway. He's a fantastic combination fighter. I really like the way that he stands and strikes. I think that at a higher plus price, Cater was the side to back if you got in the range of about plus 170, plus 165 on him. And at this point right now, the one thing I would say is that this might be correlated sidewise, right? If you're looking at a round total. Round total prop about 4.5, shaded to the over, and it's not even shaded, it's like darkened to the over at about minus 170. If you want to offset a little bit of that, I think Cater's got a pretty good shot if you do like him to finish a fight like this. So make sure you shop for prices, Cater inside the distance, Cater to finish, things like that, as opposed to taking a watered-down price of about plus 138, which is the ones that we're looking at right now at Bet Rivers. There's always other ways to go around it. And again, it's a really fun card, and this is where we start to ramp up. We're already a week away from Conor McGregor taking on Dustin Poirier. I got a bet on that one already. So as the fight cards, of course, ramp up, we haven't seen one for about 3 weeks. We'll continue to see a little bit more. And by the way, Points Spread Weekly, Lou Finicaro, every single week, Inside the Octagon. Check that out. All right, college hoops on the other side are model market moves. We're not done with the NFL by a long shot. It's The Edge here on VSiN. For the 2021 hockey season with our NHL betting guide. With over 80 pages of insights on the teams, players, and trends to watch from Andy McNeil, our VSiN hockey expert, it's available now for all VSiN subscribers. Or get your copy today for only $9.99. Visit vsin.com/subscribe. Look at that. Less than $10. All it costs. And for free, by the way, I'll always say it because we're only 2 days into the season. YouTube.com/vsin. Andy put together a fantastic video that you can watch with a lot of smart guys on there whose, I'm sorry, names escape me at this point, but it was a really good video. So go check it out. YouTube.com/vsin. Okay. Let's go to college hoops here. Aaron has put these together. Aaron Oster has put these together every single time. As our model market moves continue, as we take a look at the model and some of these some of the market moves and how they correlate, and the lesson is pretty clear at this point right now, right? You know, for the most part, we will see the market project and match a lot of what we've seen with Ken Pomeroy's numbers up at kenpom.com. So you, as a bettor, of course, will say this time and time again. It behooves you on a day like today, before we see some lines for Saturday, to kind of go around on KenPom, see what some of the projections are. And it's not so much that KenPom is correct, but it's just that the market usually reflects these numbers, and you can find yourself with some relatively decent numbers as the market will more often than not move in the direction of those numbers. I say more often than not because we have a pretty good example of, and we have had a couple of examples, of the opposite kind of taking place here, right? For example, Marshall at Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky, a very quality squad, especially defensively, done a really good job, especially when they pull out a zone, which is really rock solid. And in conference play, they have the second best defensive rating. But Western Kentucky opens up as a 2-point favorite at most spots. Circa opened them up as high as 3, other spots 2.5, but we get it, the 2.5 to 3-point open. Ken Pom projects this, though, as a 1-point win in favor of Western Kentucky. Bartervik a little bit lesser on the chance for Western Kentucky, but still a projected win there at minus 0.8. But you see that Western Kentucky now up to a 4-point favorite with a total of 151.5. And look, and this speaks to, again, well, most of the time, right, you will see the market really match some of these models and projections. It's not 100% of the time. And you look at this just from a matchup perspective, what's going to be pretty interesting here is a Marshall offense, which has not really been great since conference play has started, even though on the season, they are a top 75 offense, 107.4 points every 100 possessions. Western Kentucky has really locked it in since they have taken on some of their conference opponents, just 96 points flat every 100 possessions. What I'd be interested in a game like this, when you see a defense at the level of Western Kentucky's, an offense that has been as inconsistent as Marshall has been, what we're going to see from a total perspective at 151.5, as high as 152.5, and yet when you look at Western Kentucky on the flip side and what they bring to the table, against conference opponents, we're talking about just 94.9 points every 100 possessions. Like, that's a dreadful offensive rating since they started in conference play. And look, it's only 4 games, but still just speaks to the fact that offensively it's been a really big challenge here for Western Kentucky, and what that means from this perspective as the total is pretty high at 151.5 remains to be seen. But this is one of those where you see the model doesn't really reflect what the market is moving towards in that regard. So you have something on this one?
Yeah, and it seems to be a trend kind of with when we see these going against the models. It's usually something COVID-related, and Marshall hasn't played for a while. They've been off for about, looks like, 2 weeks now. They haven't played a game, so a lot of bettors don't know what to expect there.
But you know what's interesting about that you bring that up? We have two recent examples, right? Was it actually just last night? All the days melt together. Pepperdine and Gonzaga, right? Pepperdine hadn't played for a while. Last time we saw them, it wasn't a very good showing. What happened? Like, they actually pushed Gonzaga for a little bit. And how about, like, last week? We talked about the spot for UNLV. UNLV playing their first game in over a month against Colorado State. And what do? They cover that number. It was a really big number against Colorado State. Took it down to the buzzer. They lost, but had led throughout and were bowling back and forth with Colorado State. So I find it interesting that the market, it responds to something like that. But at least the two recent instances that I just come to mind, it's gone the other direction, you know?
Exactly, and it might be a situation when you do identify something like that, you wait. You wait for the market to move because likely it's going to move against, and you have a situation like you have right now where if you believe in a model like Haslametrics, you're 6.5 points off of what the number is.
Yep. So the other one, of course, Bowling Green is going to take on Buffalo, another one of our model market moves. It's really hard to get all of those at once. Buffalo opens up as about a 6-point favorite. Some of the projections, right, Ken Pom projecting it as a 4-point win, Bartervik a little bit higher, more matching the opening number of 5.8. Haslametrics really high on the chances for Buffalo at 9.1 point projected win for them. Opening number was 6, though. But again, as we talk about, right, And maybe this is just the more casually known site. I personally, before the season started, right, Aaron Oster pointed me out to the other ones as Haslametrics and Bartervik, ones I did not know about. So as KenPom being the more well-known site, the more the often cited site in terms of metrics and projections, you see this reflected a little bit more. And sure enough, the initial move here was from 6 down to 4.5, but we've seen that buyback now on Buffalo to about 5.5, depending on where you look, with a total we're talking about right now in the range of about 163 or so. And when we talk about this, again, from a standpoint of just matchups and what we've seen up to this point, Buffalo defensively has been a really good team, man. They have been rock solid on the season, giving up just over a point per possession at 100.2. And defensively, the best rating in their conference at this point right now at 94 flat. They have done a really good job, and both of these teams actually, from a defensive standpoint, have been some of the best ones that we have seen, especially once they've gotten to conference play. Bowling Green, since they have started conference play, giving up just 95.9 points every 100 possessions. A little bit of a larger sample size, too, at least for Bowling Green. We're talking about 6 conference games, which gives you a little bit more confidence in numbers that we see. Buffalo, on the other hand, has only played 4, so maybe we don't take too much into what we have seen from them from that standpoint. But on the surface, it looks like 2 quality teams from a defensive standpoint. And what that means for a total, again, which is at about 162.5 going forward, obviously it's a higher total, so the market sees something a little bit different when you look at some of the projections and the numbers. But what this looks like for both of these squads by the time we reach the end of it, a 4 o'clock tip for us of the Pacific Coast, will be pretty fascinating because I do actually like some of these defensive matchups in college hoops. And then finally, UAB at Charlotte. We have seen, again, our model market moves here. Charlotte right now, 2.5-point favorite with a total of 129.5, opening up 1 here with a total of 130.5. But here you go, right? And this is like the swing and then coming back. Projected KenPom win for UAB at 2 points, Bartervik at 2.9, Haslametrics at 2.8. Again, all 3 models in agreement and actually kind of along the same line in terms of a point spread. And what was the initial move here? Charlotte opens up as a 1-point favorite. UAB gets to as high as 1.5, but the market has fought back, come back around, and Charlotte's as high as a 2.5-point favorite now with a total of 129.5. So again, the initial move, and sometimes, not all the times, the initial move is always a little bit sharper, or skews a little bit sharper, because the sharper bettors would come in and, again, sharpen up some of these numbers. That's kind of what you'll see there, and you did see it initially for the initial move from Charlotte -1 to UAB -1.5, but we have since settled back down at Charlotte 2.5-point spread, so we'll see how that works out, a little bit different than the models that we're seeing at this point. All right, we'll finish up the week with a little National Football League when we come back. Karen Loftus is going to be with the sports anchor and reporter for News Channel 8 out in Tampa as we discuss the Buccaneers' 3rd matchup with the New Orleans Saints. To hire, you need Indeed. Indeed immediately delivers quality candidates from a resume database when you upgrade your job post. Get started at indeed.com/credit. All right, divisional round is upon us. We are, of course, just over 24 hours away from kick for our first game, but the last game of the weekend is the one that I want to watch, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the New Orleans Saints. Saints, a 3-point favorite with a total of about 52, depending on where you shop. And, of course, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming in on a scorching hot 5-game winning streak. Let's get the Tampa perspective on all of this. Karen Loftus is nice enough to give us some time, sports anchor, reporter for News Channel 8 out there in Tampa. Karen, thank you so much for your time today. So I kind of want to start with this. You know, I mentioned the winning streak here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I've made the case that Tampa Bay has been the beneficiary of playing some bad defenses outside of the wild card round against Washington. How much has this team improved, though? Because I'm open to the idea of, while they've gotten pretty bad opponents, I'm also open to the idea that, hey, it's Tom Brady and a pretty skilled offense. They could have just been getting better as well.
Yes, I have to say that I go with the latter on that argument there. They have become a completely different team since the bye week. And you think it's been 2 whole months since the Bucs played the Saints last time, and they after their bye week, and they have just played phenomenally. They're putting 30, 40 points up per game team, and a comfortability with Tom Brady and all of his offense, the emergence of Antonio Brown. He has 5 touchdowns in the last 4 games, 315 yards receiving. So it's been nice to see other people get involved. And of course, you always know what you're going to get with Mike Evans too.
Karen Loftus, sports anchor reporter, News Channel 8. Aaron, I think, are we going to reset this? Because it is getting a little choppy. All right, Karen, hold on for a second. We're going to reset the signal really quickly so we can discuss that a little bit more. And look, as we talked about at the beginning of the week, personally, I have laid the points with the New Orleans Saints, but it would be foolish to think that a team at the level offensively, right, where you have the skill position players that they have, when you have Bruce Arians running that offense, when you have Tom Brady, a quarterback at that level, it would be foolish on my part to think that there is no question that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers could be improving, and it does help to play some relatively poor defenses in that regard. And when you're talking about improving, that could potentially be a reason why they have gotten a little bit better. So are we going to, are you want to keep going? All right, I'll keep going. We'll see if we can get Karen back up here. All right, let's keep on this game, though, because this is actually something I really want to discuss, and we'll see if we can get Karen back. We can just talk about this. I was listening to, and we've had Sam Monson on before on this podcast. He's PFF, and they do, you know, twice a week podcast. They do a great job with it. But the idea, and they didn't necessarily bring this up, but I do find this kind of interesting. If you go back, right, just the two matchups we've seen for the New Orleans Saints taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and what it has meant, right? We talked about the final results with a 34-23 win for the New Orleans Saints. The, of course, big win 38-3 in that regard on a Sunday night and the beatdown that they had. I wonder how much of this defensive scheme just kind of contains and matches up well with a Bruce Arians type of scheme. And while that goes back to the topic we're discussing, right, in terms of getting better, I think getting better also means getting the influence of one Tom Brady on this offense and not necessarily rolling with 100% Bruce Arians scheme and what they want to do, because that's going to be a pretty fascinating concept from that regard. So let's bring Karen back in. Karen, thanks a lot. I appreciate you sticking through that. So my point overall that I was kind of talking about here when we were efforting to get you back on, How much is Tom Brady, when we talk about the improvement of this offense, how much of it has been Tom Brady's influence on this scheme and altering kind of what Arians has done with it and wants to do, and letting Tom Brady kind of put his fingerprints around it and change a little bit of what they've been doing?
I think it's a big part of just Tom Brady and who he is. And I've been saying all along, you don't put another quarterback in this situation who can excel as he has and done what he has with no offseason and everything thrown together in such a bizarre year and do the things that Tom Brady has done to take them to the playoffs for the first time in 13 years, to get a playoff win and have 11 wins in the regular season. I mean, it's really incredible what he's been able to do. And I think there's just a familiarity and a comfortability with him and all of his offensive weapons now that they're all, you're starting to see them all on the same page.
So when you talk to them, you know, leading up to this third matchup here, you know, there's the cliche that actually is not true, that it's hard to beat a team 3 times, right? When you talk to Arians or anybody around the team, what have they kind of mentioned or alluded to? They're not going to give you the full game plan, obviously, about what went wrong in the first two matchups, what they can kind of clean up, and what's going to be different here this time around.
I think first and foremost is turnovers. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady has thrown 12 interceptions this season. 5 of those came in the 2 games against the Saints. They have to protect the football, and that's sort of the beginning and end, because you think about, you take those out of the equation, and at least in the first matchup, you have a completely different game. Now, Brady's on the page, same page with his receivers, and everything's clicking. And the other thing that I keep going back to is that the Bucs are 9-1 when Brady doesn't throw an interception. So that is major. And he put it pretty bluntly. He's like, that's a key to the game. He's like, if you have the football, you have a chance to score. If you keep the other team from having the football, you keep them from having a chance to score. So he understands the importance and just the statistics behind it, that usually if you're winning the turnover battle, you're going to be winning the game.
So I'm curious your thoughts too, is when we looked at, like, we did this at the beginning of the week, right? If you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their wins all against teams, you know, sub 500 records. If you look at their results against teams with a top 10 defense, according to DVOA metrics, they're 1-4 straight up, 0-5 against the spread. And so that's kind of my worry with Tampa Bay, is we could talk about them getting better, right? We could talk about Tom Brady having some influence. It's kind of troubling that when they've taken on the best of the best defensively, they have outright lost and have failed to perform very well, you know?
Yeah, and that's true. And especially against a good pass rush has sort of been the consistent theme there. But we've also seen a lot of growth in this team, and I'm still going to stand by that. The improvements they've made since their bye week, which they had one of the latest bye weeks in the entire NFL. So I think we saw a lot from them against Washington. Say what you want about Washington's team, them being a losing record, NFC East, their defensive line and their front four are widely respected around the league. And the fact that they were to win the battle up front, I think was encouraging to see for the Bucs.
So the other side of this, too, as we talk about the improvement of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense, it's kind of actually gone hand in hand. We've seen the defense kind of regress a little bit over the last few weeks. So what's been the, I think, maybe the issue here with Tampa Bay defensively that at the beginning of the year, what seemed overwhelming, was dominant, was blitzing so much, was holding teams down, like beating the crap out of Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers in a 38-10 win at home. Has there been a change here? Has there been something that other teams have kind of caught on to? What do you think has been the message behind this change defense for Tampa Bay?
That's been a little bit of the head scratcher because, as you said, this Bucs defense came out very strong to start the season. And I don't know if that was out of necessity because they had a lot of pieces coming back on the defensive side of the ball. So they were making plays when the offense was still getting up to speed. They were making the stops when they needed to. And now you're seeing a resurgence of the offense and them taking off. And I don't know if it's necessarily a regression of the defense or it's that it's not necessarily that they're needing to make these plays to bail their offense out.
I like
The other good thing, though, is they have Devin White back. He hasn't been playing the past two games. He's off the reserve COVID list, and he's their leading tackler. He has 9 sacks. He's just behind JPP in sacks on the team, and I think that's going to be a big difference maker. I think his energy out of the team, going back to the boot, going back to Louisiana, he's going to have a he's going to be fired up for this one. He said he had fresh legs after a little bit of time off.
So you've seen every single one of these teams' games. You watched the two matchups with the New Orleans Saints. Saints are a 3-point favorite. What do you think happens Sunday night?
I've gone back and forth with this one, but I'm saying the Bucs by 2 points, maybe by a field goal.
All right. I like it. Again, Karen Loftus, sports anchor, reporter, News Channel 8 out in Tampa. Karen, we're up against it, but thank you very much for the time today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care.
Yeah, you too. All right, Aaron, I'm going to put you on the spot. You are also the Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. And I will say this. I wanted to give you credit, too. You brought up, I think, a fantastic point. I think if you were to tell people, hey, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have one of their starting guards back, this is going to be a big difference. That is by far the highest graded interior lineman for PFF. It's one of the better offensive linemen in the National Football League, period. And this is a front seven that can pressure the crap out of Tom Brady. That is a very big difference. But your final thoughts as your boys get to take on the Saints for a third time.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I think the what she brought up towards the end there, Devin White coming back, that was a big, very clearly a big loss last week. Even though they get Marpet back, Alex Kappa is now injured. My gut, and this is partially being a pessimistic fan of all sports, I'm going to say the Saints win by 7, but we'll see.
I love to hear it. I love to hear it because that is the side that I took. I played 3 with the New Orleans Saints. All right, so we're up against it. Just to give you, as we head into the divisional round of the National Football League. Just what I have on the card and what I'm looking at because I am very excited. I like the divisional round. For some reason, it's like one of my favorites because you get just the high-level teams. You get some of the upsets. You get teams coming off of byes and some wonky performances there. But I will find myself, I think, involved in every game to a certain extent. But the Los Angeles Rams, I'll tell you this, I am waiting for that 7 to come back. Missed out earlier in the week. Talking to Chris Andrews in the first hour, does sound like that 7 will pop back up. So be a little patient. It's the first game on the board. But, of course, you have your apps. You're fired up and ready to go. That 7 will pop up at some point. So Rams catching 7 there. The Ravens against the Buffalo Bills. The thing that kind of turns me off on this, and I'm going to wait for again, there's a 3 here at the South Point, so I'll be walking out and betting that. That'll be taking 3. As much as I want to play the Baltimore Ravens on a money line price, our conversations as we had, right, with Chris Andrews about the cheapened money line price and what you're looking at from a dog perspective, where the Buccaneers, you're getting plus 150, but only plus 120 with the Ravens and catching the same points. That turned me off of a money line price, a cheaper one at that. So give me the Ravens plus 3 for the coming weekend. All over the Browns at plus 10. I really like this team. I like how they match up with the Kansas City Chiefs. If you have paid attention at all throughout this entire year when it comes to the football season, you know how much of a big matchup guy I am in terms of just statistically X's and O's and how it means weaknesses versus strengths. This is a top 10 rushing offense by DVOA metrics versus the 31st ranked rush defense. I think this is one where it's going to be a little higher scoring, and I do think the Browns, who have been playing playoff football for a while now, are going to be staying within a number like that. And the New Orleans Saints lay the three. It was the first bet I made this week. I do think that this matchup plays very well for the New Orleans Saints. One, defensively, the Buccaneers, you mentioned their struggles against top 10 defenses. But the other side, I think, watch how Drew Brees handles this defense, because I think getting the ball out quick, we talk about the issues with Drew Brees and his arm. I think this is actually one of those matchups where it kind of benefits him to be a quick passing attack type of guy and throwing it out and getting rid of it quickly. We're all done. I hope you enjoyed the show today. I will always be very grateful for your time as you join us every single time here on The Edge, 10 a.m. Pacific time. Betting Across America is coming up next. VSiN.com/subscribe. Find everything that we offer for you. Have a good weekend. Good luck. We'll see you on Sunday night.